Now, while Richie Davidson and his colleagues are scanning the brains of Buddhist monks, Andrew Newberg is doing the same thing with Franciscan nuns and Pentecostalists. Newberg directs the Center for Spirituality and the Mind at the University of Pennsylvania, and he's curious about the experience of prayer. What happens when people pray? If someone tells you she's felt the presence of God, can you see it on a brain scan? Steve Paulson asked Andrew Newberg what brain imaging technology can tell us.
Well, it certainly can tell us what happens in our brain when we do have an experience that we call religious or spiritual. For example, we've had the opportunity to study Franciscan nuns doing prayer. And during that prayer, the goal of that particular prayer is to try and open themselves to being in God's presence. What our brain scans can ultimately show is what happens in the brain if they have that experience, if they have the experience of being in God's presence. What those scans don't necessarily prove for us is whether or not that experience was real in some sort of objective reality, that God really was in the room, that God really was communicating through them or communicating with them.
Well, tell me about this study that you did with the Franciscan monks, and we can also mention the studies you've done with Tibetan Buddhists as well, and we should point out that these are people who have, for the nuns, they have prayed for many years. The Buddhists have meditated for many years, so they are very experienced doing this. But what did they do in your lab?
Well, what we found with the Franciscan nuns was that they activated several important parts of the brain. One of the parts of the brain that they activated during the prayer was the frontal lobe. And the frontal lobe has been an area of the brain that I've been particularly interested in over the years because it tends to be activated whenever we focus our mind on something. And this can be very mundane. It can be focusing on our driving directions or focusing on a problem we're trying to solve at work. Or it can be focusing on a prayer or a phrase from the Bible, which is what was happening with the Franciscan nuns. So they would take a particular prayer of great meaning to them, and they would focus their attention, focus their mind on it. And as they continued to do this and try to bring their full attention to that particular prayer, they would begin to feel a lot of unusual experiences. They would begin to lose their sense of self. They would feel that they become kind of absorbed into the prayer itself. And another part of the brain that was different in the prayer state is in a part of the brain called the parietal lobe. And this is a part of the brain that normally takes our sensory information and tries to create for us a sense of ourself and try to relate that self spatially to the rest of the world. So it's that part of our brain that when we get up out of our chair and walk out the door that enables us to do all that. What we've hypothesized is that when people meditate or pray, they begin to block the sensory information that gets into that area, and we think that that may be ultimately associated with an experience where they lose that sense of orientation, where they lose that sense of self, and they feel that they become one with something greater.
You also did a very intriguing study of some Pentecostal Christians who speak in tongues.
Right.
Can you tell me what happened when you hooked them up to your brain imaging technology?
What we found actually were some very unique differences that really differentiated speaking in tongues from any of the meditation states that we had seen. Hmm. One of the most intriguing differences was that we saw an actual decrease of activity in the frontal lobes. So they are not really focusing their attention on the practice of speaking in tongues. They actually kind of lose their attention. They feel that they are no longer in control of what's happening to them. And we think that that may be associated with this drop of activity in the frontal lobes.
And one thing you said about the Franciscan nuns is when they prayed, they activated the language part of their brain. Was that true with the people speaking in tongues as well?
That's a good question. And actually, we did not observe that in the speaking in tongues. And that also is intriguing because if any of the listeners have heard speaking in tongues, it sounds like the person is speaking a language, but it's not comprehensible. And when people have done linguistic analyses of speaking in tongues, it doesn't correspond to any clear kind of linguistic structure. And I think that that's interesting because we did not see activity in the language areas of the brain. So wherever these different experiences are coming from and these vocalizations are coming from, if they're coming from someplace in the brain, it seems to be coming from areas that are not particularly associated with language. And of course, if somebody is a deep believer in speaking in tongues, the source of the vocalizations is very clear. It's coming from outside the person. It's coming through the Spirit of God.
You know, there's a fundamental mystery in all of this research that you've been describing. a religious person might call a mystical vision a gift from heaven, while a neuroscientist would just say it's an electrochemical surge firing in the temporal lobes. Is there any way to resolve this question?
Well, I think that there ultimately is. One of the things that I've been advocating for is that we really need to look not just at what science has to say, but what the subjective nature of these experiences are, what the spiritual side has to say. What we have to be careful about, I think, is saying that because we capture something in the brain that is associated with these experiences, that that explains away those experiences. I don't think we can do that. And I think the more we understand what the feelings that people have when they have those experiences and how they relate to the biology itself, we're going to get closer to answering that kind of question. I don't know exactly what the balance that needs to be struck is, but I think that we really need to look at both the spiritual perspective and the scientific perspective and see where they can help us understand what these experiences and what reality ultimately is all about.
Andrew Neuberg directs the Center for Spirituality and the Mind at the University of Pennsylvania. His new book is called Why We Believe What We Believe. He spoke with Steve Paulson.